Hi, you're listening to Jackie and Friends. This podcast is all about relationships, growth, and joy. We'll enjoy great conversations about all kinds of subjects and share beautiful stories, all to bring joy and inspiration to you. So come join the conversation and let's laugh and grow together. Hello to you, my friends. Thanks for coming again today and joining in this conversation. And it's going to be a good one. I say that every week. My best friend, because I got my best friend here today.
And you're my best friend, too.
Can you guess who that is? Brian. Brian joined me today.
It's so good to be here.
It's good to have you here. And we have had a fun week preparing for this.
It's been really good.
It's been good. We've had lots of good talks.
Yes.
I love that.
It's one of my favorite people to talk about. He's really rather iconic to me. And why don't you let everybody know what we're going to be doing?
Okay, I will. Okay, so this is a person I have been thinking about a lot lately, and that's Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
You know, we several months ago, we started watching that PBS TV series on Julia Child.
Yes.
Julia, it was called. It was really fun. And there was one moment in her life that was so difficult, and she was at a big PBS banquet in New York, and Mr. Rogers approached her and just brought comfort to her at that moment. And it just touched, it was so touching.
It was very moving.
It was very moving. So unassuming. And I've been thinking of him ever since. And so, you know, Brian, you're the perfect person to have this chat with because you are a big fan of Mr. Rogers.
And have been for many years.
Yep. Yes. I bought you books about him and we've watched his movie and documentary several times together.
And I think what I've been so attracted to him over the years was just how much he came across like Jesus.
Wow.
To me. Mm-hmm. That was such an admirable quality. And I always have a legal pad and pen with me when I'm watching something of Mr. Rogers, even old episodes of, you know, Mr. Rogers' yes. Neighborhood, because he has so many wonderful things, you know, to say. You know, we, of course, watched the movies and documentaries of him as well, and so many wonderful things. There are incredible sermons in just some of the one lines that he would say to people, kind of as a philosophy of life, so to speak, that Absolutely. He would live by, the principles or values mm-hmm. that he would live
and
by.
And we are going to go through a lot of his most famous quotes towards the end of our episode today. But we have been immersed in all things Mr. Rogers for the last couple days, and we've talked and talked, and I'm telling you, I am inspired and convicted to be a kinder, better, more present person after just focusing on his life and his words.
Yes.
What about you?
It's very same. You know, when you read the words of Jesus, you get inspired to become more like him. There are times where you might feel conviction, but conviction from Holy Spirit is not the same as condemnation mm-hmm. from the enemy. Mm-hmm. With conviction, there's a sense of I'm not measuring up in this area.
I can do better.
But yes, but there's also in a sense an accompanying empowerment and encouragement to that there's a better way.
Inspiration.
Yes.
Inspired.
And so the same when I listen to a lot of the things that Mr. Rogers said or wrote, I'm inspired in the same manner to become, in one sense, more like Mr. Rogers, but also in becoming like that, I feel like I'm becoming more like Jesus.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, I was thinking as we were just walking into the studio today, Mr. Rogers, he was a devout Christian man.
Yes, he was.
And he really, he was full of God.
Yes.
That's why he could be the way he was, because he didn't just say these words, he lived it.
Yes.
And that's how we can can we can't make ourselves be kinder and nicer.
No, and he had a regimen.
Yes.
Virtually every day of his life that helped him become full of God, mm-hmm. so that the natural outflow of that was who he was.
Yes, it's true. So we need to be, and we need to be, spend time with God.
Yes.
Be filled up with God.
Yes.
So we, that's what comes out of us.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize he was an ordained Presbyterian minister.
Well, I think, you know. I just kind of figure everybody listening knows who Mr. Rogers is, but yeah. just in case, I'm just going to list.
Sure.
He was many things.
Yes.
He was a TV personality. You called him an icon.
Yes.
It's really true, an American icon.
Yeah.
He was a musician.
Very good musician. His first degree was in music. Mm-hmm. He was a very good pianist and wrote, was a composer and songwriter. Mm-hmm. Most of the songs that were sung on his program were songs that he wrote.
He wrote them, yep. Yeah. And you know, when he started out his career, he decided he had just watched TV for the first time, and he saw all the good it could be, but he saw all the bad already on it.
Yes.
And he decided he wanted to go into television, and he was hired down in New York City by NBC as a pianist for several music shows. So
yeah.
he was an accomplished musician.
Yes.
And you know what? He was really an activist for children.
And he was ordained a Presbyterian minister, and he was the first TV evangelist for the Presbyterian denomination. I'm not sure how many TV evangelists they've had subsequently, you know, to Mr. Rogers. But and it was actually, they were debating the rank and file within the Presbyterian denomination, were even questioning, do we want to really ordain him or sanction this? But, you know, I think kindness and reason prevailed with because this was so innovative. It was mm-hmm. so new, a television evangelist, which nowadays, sometimes that term can be rather disparaging.
Most of the time.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and it's yep. it's because of, I would say it's because of the message that so many TV evangelists, you know, give, and the motives for it. It's kind of a money, focus on money and so forth. Whereas Mr. Rogers, he didn't even get paid, you know, to do what he was doing as far as the Presbyterian Church is
yes,
concerned.
Right.
And so it was purely, he saw a great vehicle in the early years of television to reach into the homes and hearts of children and try to bring an impact to them. And so most of us probably realize the program that ultimately became well known was called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it actually spanned 33 years.
Three decades.
It's yes, yeah, a little more than three decades. And from 1968 to 2001, and he wrote and produced over 865 programs.
Wow.
I mean, that's just think of how many programs that was for him to write and produce.
And they were so thoughtful.
They're so thoughtful. Yes. But I remember the first time I saw Mr. Rogers. What was quoted about him is so true. He said he wrote, his voice actually sounded adult to the ears of children and childish to the ears of adults.
Yes.
I still remember hearing him for the first time and thinking, he sounds so childish. Mm-hmm. And of course, I associated the sound with lack of real meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of content. But I was never so wrong
yes.
in my life. He was really loved by children. He was also loved by the parents of
yes.
those children. And he respected children, but he also respected childhood, not just children. And so we have an interesting family story about Mr. Rogers. Maybe you want to share that.
It would have been in the early 70s, probably. Christy, my little niece Christy, whom I did a podcast
and
episode.
So did I.
Yep,
yes.
On both of our podcasts
yes.
we did. And she is a delight. And what we were watching her and her brother Gordy, while Nancy and Gordon, my sister and brother-in-law, were out of town. And so we decided that we would watch some TV together, Christy and I. And so, you know, the Muppets were coming out then too.
Right. And they were kind of
and they were fun.
Loud and, you know, slapstickish a little bit, whatever.
Were.
Yeah.
So she turned on Mr. Rogers, and I said, oh, we don't want to watch Mr. Rogers.
He's too slow.
He's a little slow for me.
Yeah.
And she put her hands on her hips. I can remember it like it was yesterday. Mr. Rogers is my friend.
And yes. Yes. She and said, that's how he made children feel.
She got it.
Yeah.
She got it. I said, okay, we're watching Mr. Rogers.
I remember one child, I saw an interview, and this one child said, Mr. Rogers knows my name.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, that's what we say about the Lord. You know, how often do we say, and I've said this, we sing this song, The King Who Remembers My Name. Mm-hmm. And how often have we said, you know, that God never says to us, I remember your face, but I can't remember your name, you know, and how God remembers our name. Our names are inscribed in the palm of his hand. That's how important we are to him. He remembers our names. And every person was important to Mr. Rogers. They were the focus of his attention at that moment. And that's why this child said, Mr. Rogers remembers my name.
So sweet. Sweet. You know, he, at the time when children's programming was speeding up and getting crazier and crazier, he was slowing it down.
Yes.
And there was lots of slow space in his program, but no wasted space.
That's really good. Say that again.
There was a lot of slow space.
Yep.
But no wasted space. Like we watched an episode last night where he was watching a turtle crawl across the rug.
Carpet. Yeah.
Nothing being said.
Yeah.
Just watching the turtle.
And he would say, this is how long a minute is.
Oh, yes. He did that.
Right.
He had a clock out and he said, I want to show you how long a minute is.
Yeah.
And then there was a total minute of silence on television.
Which seems like it goes on forever. But, you know, we just got a game for
Abby,
our Haitian grandchild, and it's that game where you start a clock and it's ticking, and then you have to put all the little shapes into the little holes and stuff like that, and that minute goes by really quickly when you're doing that, right?
Yes.
So anxious, where's it going? That minute goes by real quickly, but if you're just sitting in silence, that minute feels like it takes forever.
Yeah.
And we just have to get a different perspective.
We do. And
on
you know what?
All of this.
Life goes so fast, especially the older you get. I said to you this morning, if we want life to slow down a little bit, maybe we need to have a little more silence.
Yes, we need silence. Yeah. Silence is golden, right?
Yes, it is.
It's golden. Yes.
You know, kids were mesmerized.
Yes, they were.
By him. His gentleness and his kindness.
And the more childlike we become as adults, the more mesmerized we become with Mr. Rogers.
It's really true.
You know,
it really is true. He said he looked into the camera and imagined one child, connecting with that one child and making them feel loved and special. You know, he communicated right into their hearts.
Yes.
And taught them about life, both the fun things and the difficult things of life.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of the core values Mr. Rogers taught.
Yeah, there
Rogers
are so many taught. Of them. One of the things that Mr. Rogers understood was that there's no normal life that is free from pain. And because of that, he believed that love is at the root of everything. Love is really at the heart of everything. And he wanted everyone to know that they not only mattered, but that they were loved and that they had great value, intrinsic value, not just based on the things that they did in life that gives them value. I mean, the question most men ask each other, well, what do? You know, and so much of our value in our culture, particularly with guys, is, well, what do we do? Mm-hmm. What is our vocation? Mm-hmm. And so forth. And yet he understood that the greatest value that came to humanity was because we were created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter if we were in a wheelchair or we were a bodybuilder, that we all had great value. And he fought for human dignity. That was, I think that's something that, in spite of all of our efforts in our world today, and even in our American culture, to try and bring dignity to people, mm-hmm. it feels like we're falling further and further away from hitting the mark on that as a culture. And he would say things like, I like you just the way you are, mm-hmm. Meaning I don't, and this is so much like Jesus when he says this, because if we really understand grace, the scriptures teach us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes. He loved us. He loved us in this very fallen condition because he saw something in us that had value, mm-hmm. that we were intrinsically, wonderfully, and fearfully made in his image. And so he showed us, Mr. Rogers actually showed people how God actually loves us, not based on all the things we do, not based on all of our accomplishments, not based on how good we look, our physical beauty,
our perfection,
even in our behavior at times. And I'm not saying that behavior doesn't matter in life. Obviously, it does. If I'm in a fire, I need a fireman who's strong enough to carry me down a ladder, whatever. I'm not saying that abilities aren't important. But as far as what gives us value, mm-hmm. human dignity, and this type of thing, he understood that being made in the image of God was the most important thing. And that's what he saw in people. That's why everybody was valuable. Mm-hmm. And love and kindness was really at the heart of everything with him.
Really good. So good. Another thing he really wanted to accomplish with his program that was so important to him was he wanted to help children find positive ways to deal with their feelings.
Yes, because children have feelings.
Because children have strong feelings,
yes.
just like adults have strong
That's right.
feelings.
Yeah.
And children can feel what the adults are feeling in the home.
But the big challenge for children is oftentimes they feel helpless with their feelings,
mm-hmm.
because they don't have control. You know, the parents are in control. The principals are in control. The teachers are in control. Everybody else is in control. And so oftentimes they feel very challenged in how can they express some of the things that they're feeling.
We have to teach them.
That's right.
And Mr. Rogers began the teaching about it.
Yes.
He said feelings have to be acknowledged.
Yes.
And he said this, feelings don't last forever. We have to respond to our children's feelings.
That's right.
To our mates' feelings.
I mean,
feelings don't last forever. Sad feelings will pass and there will be happy times again. He said this, when we can talk about our feelings, they become less overwhelming, less upsetting, and less scary.
Yes.
And he talked about every emotion. I especially love the one he talked about, anger.
Yes.
He'd say, there is always something you can do with the mad that you feel.
Yeah.
And
he wrote a song
about
it.
The cutest song about it.
Yep.
I didn't learn the melody or I would have sung it.
Sure. You know, one of the things I think...
But I want to share the words.
Yeah, before we do that,
okay.
One of the things that I think was at the heart of this song was that Mr. Rogers never forgot how vulnerable it is to be a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what is at the heart of this song. What do you do with the mad that you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Because we all get mad.
Absolutely.
And as adults, we have different ways of being able to express it or convey it, let it out. But children who are much more vulnerable have less ways of doing it. And then when they do it, it usually comes out like a tantrum of some sort. And that's obviously not a very good way to express it. But
with some adults, it comes out that way too.
Yeah, it does, for sure. Road rage and all that sort of stuff. But why don't you share the lyrics of this song?
Yeah, it was so cute. What do you do with the mad that you feel? I don't remember the rest of the melody. Anyway, what do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong and nothing you do seems very right.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that Mr. Rogers, in the early days of public television, there was a big Senate hearing. And Richard Nixon, who was a president at that time, this was obviously the early 70s, was trying to cut funding for public television. And there was this hearing from the Senate hearing. And there was a lot of opposition to, because the administration was trying to cut the budgets to get more money for the Vietnam War and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Those were way back in the Vietnam War days. And Mr. Rogers was brought in, and he read these words mm-hmm. to the senator, who ended up saying, it looks like you got your $20 million,
this
you know.
Song
but this song that he wrote actually convinced this Senate hearing that funding for public television that would do these kind of programs mm-hmm. was really valuable.
Yeah.
So why don't you go on?
I'll finish the song.
Sure.
Should I start over?
Yes.
What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world seems, oh, so wrong, and nothing you do seems very right.
Sounds like my life sometimes.
It's great to be able to stop when you've planned a thing that's wrong.
Not good.
And be able to do something else instead and think this song. I can stop when I want to. Can stop when I wish. I can stop any time. And what a good feeling to feel like this and to know that the feeling is really mine. Know that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can.
That is so good. And what he's saying about stopping is not stopping being angry, but stopping doing a wrong expression mm-hmm. of that anger. So he basically was saying, it's okay to be angry, but what you do with that anger should not hurt yourself or should not hurt somebody else.
Yeah, he was saying, go pound some clay. Or go to the piano and play all the low notes really loud.
Yeah, just with your fist or something. Yeah.
Or go run really hard.
Yes, yeah. Or swim.
Yeah.
Swim really hard and whatever.
Yes. I think that is such an important thing that he began to teach children about emotions. You know, because when I was younger, like a young woman, we were in some really good teaching, and they started to say, teach us about our emotions and teach us that we were responsible for our choices.
Yes.
And
regardless of how
that
we
our
felt.
Emotions were not in control of us, but we were in control of our emotions.
Yes.
And what we thought about created our emotions.
Yes.
So we had to start back to our brain.
Yeah. Rethink things.
Yes. Gee, that's important teaching for every age.
Yes, yes. And so this song really represents, shall we say, a kinder way to respond mm-hmm. to disappointment. Because most people get angry when they're hurt or disappointed, and they don't get something they want. And sometimes that's rooted in selfishness, of course. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It feels to me, I'm 73 now, and so I've lived a good portion of my life, a major portion of my life. And it feels like the world is actually in a less kinder place today.
It does.
Than it was 50 years ago. In spite of all of our efforts to focus on making the world a better place, it feels like hatred is still rampant, prejudice is still rampant, entitlement, pride, all the things that are so destructive for relationships are just feeling like they're out of control. And Mr. Rogers really wanted the world to become kinder.
Yes, he did.
And at a time where the world even today is so divided, I think the message that Mr. Rogers had of kindness is probably even more timely and more important than when his message first started coming out in the 60s yes. and 70s through the turn of the century. And if we could really understand and adopt his radical kindness into all of our lives, mm-hmm. wouldn't we all agree that the world today would be a different place than it is?
Yes.
You know, I mean, the scriptures say a soft answer turneth away wrath, right? Mm-hmm. So many of Mr. Rogers' answers were kind. They were soft. They weren't harsh mm-hmm. and judgmental. And that is such an important thing, that he just wanted the world to become a kinder place.
He did. And he would do that. He lived all of this. You know, we watched so many interviews with people. He lived all of this.
All these different people would say, is he really like this? They'd be talking to other people who knew him maybe better than they. Is he always like this? Is he really like this? And he even could talk to his wife or people that were family. Is he really like this? And it was, yeah, yes, this is who he is.
He prayed nightly for and every morning for a list of people, just calling their names before the Lord. And said sometimes people that had passed on, he would just say their name in thankfulness for their life. And he wrote thousands of notes and letters to people, just expressing his care and just making them know how much they mattered.
They mattered, that
he
they mattered.
He just gave and gave and gave.
Yeah.
And so many phone calls. And he would say this, and this is such an important point, that if we really want to communicate, the most important thing is to listen.
Yeah, if you were to ask most people, what's the most important thing in communication? I dare say most people would probably say having a good vocabulary to articulate your thoughts and ideas.
Yes.
But with Mr. Rogers, when he wanted to communicate with somebody, he quieted himself and he listened to that person. Mm-hmm.
There's this guy I like to listen to on Instagram, and he's an attorney, and he helps you just, you know, I don't know. I'd like to listen to him because he gives me ideas about how to communicate. But I just heard one of his recently, and it was all these great ideas how to, like, dominate a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and,
you know. It's like, it's the very opposite.
It's what a lawyer would do.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers.
No, it was the very opposite.
Yes, it was.
Very, very opposite. And I was thinking about how he prayed every morning and every night. And we were talking about this a little earlier, how so often when I'm thinking of prayer and I'm trying to shift just how I understand and view prayer and engage in it, but so often prayer to me has been, you know, making a list of things that I'm requesting. Make your request known before the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is a biblical thing to do, of course, but when that is the sole approach to prayer, it becomes almost a wish list, or for lack of a better word, a Christmas list.
Going to get.
Yeah, going to God to get, rather than going to God to be in his presence. And I think Mr. Rogers focused so much less on, shall we say, the outcome of his prayers in terms of, did his prayers get answered, mm-hmm. how he was praying them, and focused more on just engaging in the presence of God to help him, even though he prayed for people by name, oftentimes by name, and he would write their names down, and he would pray out of a book of remembrance, in a sense, that he would write. But his focus wasn't on, did they get healed, or did they get what they were needing, but rather his focus was on entering into the presence mm-hmm. of God.
Yes.
And that connection with the presence of God helped him become that person that who we admire.
Yes, that we're talking about.
That we're
today.
Talking about today. Yes, yeah. I mean, he helped children understand and not be afraid when hard things were about to happen or happened in their lives. Like even he addressed some things that were very crucial, like when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. Mm-hmm. So he talked about assassination. So
and the Vietnam War.
Vietnam War, or the death of a pet, or the death of a person they loved, or even a divorce in their family. And how he tried to help children understand that they still mattered and they were still valuable, even though their mom and dad couldn't work through their differences. Mm-hmm. And in the world and on the news, racism, the course of Vietnam War at the time. And he would help to model to parents how they could honestly talk to their children, because their children still had fears. Their children still were aware of some of the things that were going on around them. And they could honestly talk with their children when either they were afraid or when they were sad. And when adults are afraid or adults are angry or sad, children pick up on that emotion when they're around them. And so he was able to bring these things out into the open and have discussion about it.
So many times we just don't want to talk to children about hard things.
Right.
We just think we're protecting them. But he wanted to talk to children. I remember one of the most astounding things to me was just all the racism that was going on during that time.
Yes.
And it's just, it's so hard
for me. It's so foreign for us.
It's so hard for me to even imagine. In the documentary, they showed pictures. There was this big problem in the South, probably, where black people were coming in to swim in a hotel pool with white people.
And the people in the pool weren't upset about it.
No, the manager was throwing chemicals at them, and it was just the most ridiculous.
Yes.
I just can't even believe what this country went through during that time.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what did he do? Right when that was in the news, he did an episode where he invited the police officer, who was an African-American man.
Who sang a lot.
He did.
Yeah, it was a great voice.
He invited him to sit with him, and he had a little kiddie pool, and he said, "Oh, it's so hot. I think I'm going to put some cool water on my feet. Would you join me in my pool?"
Yeah. Yeah. And then one episode, he said, "Well, I don't have a towel with me." And Miss Rose said, "Well, you can use my towel.
You can use my towel." He just was amazing.
Yeah, yes.
It was amazing.
Sometimes as adults, we forget what it was like to be a child. But he had some great advice.
He had brilliant advice for parents. Stop and remember how it felt to be a child. You were a child once too.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, I want to become more childlike.
And Jesus even
said
that.
Not childish.
Right.
Childlike.
Yes.
Simple, I want to remember, because Jesus even told us in Matthew 18:3 to become like little children.
Yeah.
If we wanted to see the kingdom of God.
Yeah. And let the little children, Jesus said, let the little children come unto us. You know, the disciples had this attitude that they were just a nuisance, or they were interfering with the work of the kingdom, the important things. And Jesus said, no, let them come, because they were very significant and they really mattered. And so often we don't see the value in a child because we connotate value with productivity.
We do.
With productivity. And so, you know, Mr. Rogers would say things like, "I like you just the way you are," not when you become educated or when you become gifted at playing the piano or gifted at doing something.
Not what you will be.
Yeah, not what you will be, but he loved them for what they were right and then and there.
He would say, "You made today special just by being you."
You, yes. But interestingly enough, Mr. Rogers was on the receiving end of some really staunch criticism, particularly later in his life because of this. And there was a news media outlet that really tore into him. Some even called him an evil man because he liked people just the way they were. And they said that without them being accomplished at anything, they had no value.
Like he ruined a whole generation of children.
Yes, yeah. And said that they have this great, they were just a sense of entitlement and things like that.
And mediocrity,
yes,
he said.
Yes. And as I thought about that newscaster, I thought to myself, what if that newscaster had been in an accident, some kind of car accident, where he was paralyzed from the waist down or the neck down? Then that newscaster would quickly learn that it's not just our accomplishments that
yes.
give us value,
yes.
but the fact that we are born with intrinsic value. And that's what Mr. Rogers was trying to pull out of people or deposit into people, mm-hmm. children in
he
particular,
was.
That we were born with intrinsic value from God, and that didn't depend on how we looked, didn't depend on how fast we could run, how strong we could be, how even academically prowess we were and what kind of great jobs we could get, but that we actually mattered to the creator of the universe. And because we matter to God, we also mattered to Mr. Rogers.
Yes, and we should matter to one another.
We have value to God, and we must value those that God values. We have to value in the same way that God values.
That's right.
In America, it's a what have you done for me lately? You know, you can hit a home run or catch a touchdown pass, throw a great pass, and win a game, and everybody goes crazy wild. But the next game where you drop the pass or you strike out, now you're getting booed.
Yes.
So it's like what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And God's value system is entirely different
yes.
than just simply how much can you produce for me at this moment in time?
Like when we fail,
yes,
we learn.
Hopefully.
Mr. Rogers, he would talk about that.
Yes.
About, that's later in our notes.
Yes.
But it's like he would talk about learning that life is not going to always turn out like you want, but how you can learn from that and grow through that.
Yeah.
Yep. But now it's like you fail.
Yeah.
Step aside.
I know.
Yep.
I know.
It's
I
true.
Know.
You know, I asked our son Micah and Christy.
Because they grew up with Mr. Rogers.
They grew up with Mr. Rogers. What their thoughts were now of Mr. Rogers. Like, what do you remember? And Micah said he remembered him being so kind and patient.
Yeah.
And how interested a person he was. Like, he was so interested in things.
Yeah.
He was so interested in people and connecting with people. But he was so interested in how things were made.
And yeah, I remember seeing an episode where they were showing how magazines were made and putting the ink in the printing press and these massive printing presses. You know, they weren't like the old mimeographs that we used to have in our churches to print the bulletins, right?
Yes.
But these massive printing presses, you know, and how magazines were made.
How candy was made.
Yes, how candy.
How things were made. Questions that kids have.
Yeah.
And he would go, I remember, he would be so interested. We watched a video of him watching these violinists play a little song for him. And he would just look at them so intently. And he was so present.
Yes, he was.
And
he
interested was and wanting to learn. That was so cute. And then Christy, she said, Mr. Rogers gave me the beautiful gift of feeling like I was important, I mattered, and I was seen.
Wow.
And I was valuable to communicate with.
Yeah, yes.
And his.
That's why she said, Mr. Rogers is my friend.
My friend.
Yes.
And she said, his kindness to every person, and even his kindness to the puppets on the show.
Yes.
Was an example of accepting people without an agenda.
Yes. And I think there were like 12 puppets on that show over time, and he did all the voices for each one of them.
He did. And I don't know how he got around that puppet stage.
You know, there was one scene where Lady Evelyn and the little tiger did a duet. And, of course, the tiger would talk in a certain voice, but then he would actually sing in that voice. You know, I thought, wow, he's not only talks in that voice, but he can sing in that voice, which is not his normal singing voice. No. I mean, he was very, very talented person. But so much, he was able to bring so much out in terms of personality traits and types when they went into the land of make-believe with all the puppets.
It was amazing. Christy went on to say, Mr. Roger showed me the joy that I could feel by spreading and spread by being kind and loving.
Wow.
And she said, this is my biggest takeaway, to be open to where God gives me the opportunities to show people love and kindness.
Wow. Yeah. Showing people, be open to the opportunities. You know what? Sometimes those opportunities just pass us by because we're so tunnel vision focused.
We are.
And I can get that way where I'm so focused, I don't even hear people talking to me in the room.
I have experienced that.
You've experienced that, haven't you? I'm sorry.
Well, me. I'm over talker, you're an under talker.
Well, I always like to excuse it by saying I have high powers of concentration.
But you do. And you have learned to tune me out probably through the year.
But
I needed to be tuned out.
But there was such an awareness on his part to being present to somebody. I remember when I think an Esquire magazine guy called him to do an interview, and he called him back, and he was on the phone with him. And
he was just going to set up an appointment.
Yeah. And Mr. Rogers said to him, the most important thing I have to do right now is to talk to you.
Yeah. He said, well, I'm here right now.
Yeah.
We could talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here right now. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with that. I'll just be honest that I have a lot of things that I have on my mind. I have a lot of things I have to do. And sometimes people will want to talk to me, and my mind is miles away. Mm-hmm. And one thing I really admired about Mr. Rogers is with all the writing he had to do, with all the songs he needed to compose, with all the producing he needed to do, with all the demands for interviews and whatever that he was asked to do, when he was talking to a person or even a child, they had 100% of his focus. Mm-hmm. And if that's not God-like, I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. Because God does that with us. When we come into his presence, our connection is the most important thing on God's mind.
Yes.
At that time.
That makes me think of that one scene. He was shooting one of his programs, and a little boy who was sick, like connected to oxygen.
Yeah.
Had came in.
And he might have been even autistic or some kind of disability.
But he was really acting out. And Mr. Rogers just got down to his level and looked him in the eyes, kept quietly talking to him. And then the whole studio stopped and waited over 30 minutes.
He had everybody wait.
Until he got a breakthrough with that little boy. And that little boy put down his sword and went and hugged Mr. Rogers. Yeah. But he wasn't going to stop till he truly connected with
him. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, when you think about that.
Yeah. It's just, he made the parents, of course, as well as the child, mm-hmm. feel like they were the most important thing right there at that moment.
That's right.
In that time.
And he took the time.
He took the time. Yeah.
Took the time. Oh, yeah. We are such a slave to time.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just racing. Yeah.
Racing through life. Mm-hmm. Racing through life. Mm-hmm. I do, you know, we've been with a number of people when they have passed. And, you know, death is something many people are uncomfortable speaking about. But to die is actually human. And anything human, this is one thing he used to say, anything human is mentionable. Mm. But anything that is mentionable is also manageable. So how do we manage this? You know, we've been with many people at their passing through the years. And I've said this at a number of memorial services, and that is this, that in all the people that we've been with when they passed, I never heard one of them ever say, I wish I'd have spent more time at the office.
No.
I wish I'd have spent more time doing my job. Mm-hmm. But many of them have said, I wish I'd have spent more time with my family, my children. I wish I'd have been a better friend. I wish, you know.
And I wish I spent more time with God.
Yes, of course, mm-hmm. as well. And I was thinking of the one scene in the movie where this reporter's dad, who he was estranged from, mm-hmm. but Mr. Rogers actually helped bring a reconciliation there.
He did.
And Mr. Rogers went to their home, and the father is like in hospice there in the home. And right before Mr. Rogers left, he bent down and whispered something into the father's ear. Now, you got to remember, the father had left the mother when this reporter was 12 years old.
And she got sick.
And she was sick, and he abandoned the family, hadn't spoken to the children in years. There was a real estrangement there. He'd been unfaithful. He was, you know. But what the children didn't understand was how broken and wounded this dad was. Mm-hmm. But at the end, and now he was suffering through greatly, and he was trying to make things right. He had apologized. I'm sorry of how bad a dad I was, whatever. And Mr. Rogers whispers into his ears, and as he's walking outside, the reporter's son says, what did you say to my dad? And he said, I figured anyone who is going through what he is going through must be close to God, so I asked him to pray for me.
Oh, that's so cute.
You know, and so it's like most people from a theological perspective would look at, shall we say, how righteous Mr. Rogers is and how unrighteous this man was mm-hmm. by how they had lived their lives.
Yes.
And yet Mr. Rogers knew that for someone to be going through what he was going through, they have to be close to God mm-hmm. and said, would you just please pray for me? And that is such out of the norm of our traditional theological perspectives. But it, to me, it's so much a Jesus thing.
It is.
Yeah, it's so much like
you
Lord.
Aren't good enough to pray for me.
Yes.
I mean, actually, that's
like God is so angry with this yes. person for how they lived their whole life that he will never listen
he
to
won't
their prayers.
Listen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And so we are, I say this often, religion kills, mm-hmm. Phariseeism kills, but Christ and love builds up.
It does.
Builds up. So
we are relearning so many things.
Hopefully, hopefully I have long enough time to live to get some of this stuff right, you know? So
that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you know, how about that scene? Let's just, you know what? We actually have
so much more to cover. I think we should do another podcast.
Yep.
I
think we should do a part two on this.
Okay.
I really do. We can go a couple more minutes,
sure.
But, this is just important. This is important.
Yeah.
And I don't want to rush through it. And we have some great quotes. We have some more great quotes that I want us to ponder and consider.
I would encourage people to watch the Tom Hanks movie, you know, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. It's very touching.
It's very touching.
Can I mention one quote?
Honey, you can say anything you want.
So one time he looks to the camera and to the children, and he says, do you know what forgiveness is? Well, what a powerful question, you know. And then he said, it is a decision that we make to release a person from the feelings of anger that we have towards them. That is the gospel.
It is.
That's how Jesus treated us. That he released us. And when we make a decision to release a person from the feelings of anger that we have toward them, And he goes on to say that it's strange sometimes, but sometimes it's hardest of all to forgive someone that we love. I put it in this context in the past. I'm very frustrated at some of the things that different political leaders have done through the years, whether it be Putin or Saddam Hussein or Hitler, or you can name some presidents, whatever. But I've never struggled in my life with forgiveness with these people because, number one, I never knew them personally. Mm-hmm. I didn't maybe respect them, but I never had forgiveness issues with them. The people I've had forgiveness issues with and had to struggle with forgiveness were the people that were closest to me,
yes. That
disappointed me, that hurt me, that betrayed me, that did these things to me. And he hit the nail on the head when he said, forgiveness is a decision that we make to release a person from the feelings of anger that we have towards them.
Yes.
Just, I'm going to release it. I'm not going to hold this. I'm not going to hold this.
It's a choice.
Yes. And we've dealt with a lot of people through the years. You've done a lot of encounters where forgiveness is a big part mm-hmm. of that. And sometimes people actually have to go out to a graveside and forgive mm-hmm. a parent or someone
yes.
who's wounded them. And I would just encourage our listeners today that forgiveness is the most freeing thing that we can ever do.
So good.
It is the most freeing thing we can ever do. The control that we give to other people, some people who have actually died, mm-hmm. who are no longer alive, the control we give them over our lives mm-hmm. by harboring anger and unforgiveness towards them is such an anchor
yes.
that we drag. And sometimes it happened many years in the past. And I say it this way, doesn't matter how long the rope is that we're dragging the anchor from behind. That anchor could be way behind us, mm-hmm. but we're still dragging it.
It's holding us back.
It's still holding us back.
Yes.
So let's be intentional about releasing that person.
So good.
And not letting that anger control our lives
today. No.
And we oftentimes will rationalize this whole forgiveness thing by saying, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But Jesus never put it in the perspective of forgiving someone on the merits that they deserve to be forgiven. He always put it in the context of, this is what's best for you.
Yes.
That's why I want you to forgive. I don't want you to be bound up. I want you to become free. Mm-hmm. I want you to have this joy that comes from, I can fly.
Yes.
You know, in the spirit.
Yes.
You know?
And I mean, we want to live in peace.
We do.
You can't
that
have
inner peace.
Joy and yes. peace.
We'll talk more about that in our next episode.
Absolutely.
But
you can't have joy and peace in your heart when you are harboring unforgiveness. It's impossible. They can't coexist.
No, they can't.
Not real peace.
No.
Real joy.
No.
No. And That your joy may be full.
You know, and I think what Jesus really wants from us is unabashed forgiveness.
That's
how our joy can be full.
Well, I'll tell you, when I have a hard time forgiving people, I do stop and realize I'm not realizing how much I've been forgiven of.
Well, of course. Yes.
The grace that has been shown to me in
to
my life.
Yeah.
I need to turn around and give that same grace to others.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great place to stop.
Wow. Hey,
and
thank you for having
so
me
much.
Here.
Well,
thanks for having me here today.
I love this. This is special.
It's very special.
It's very special.
Yeah, and you do a great job with your podcast here, sweetie.
Thank you, dear, and you also.
Well, I'm learning from you.
You're funny. No, we have so much more wonderful, really life changing thoughts to consider together. So please tune in. I think my next podcast is probably about Mother's Day.
Sure.
And then we'll pick it up right after that.
Could I say a quick prayer?
Oh, I would love it. I was going to ask you to do
that. Oh, thanks. I'd like to just thank God for the gift that Mr. Rogers was.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. So, Father, I thank you. Mm-hmm. You have so many gifts that you give to your people. And really, Lord, everybody is a gift. And I pray that we would value the gift that each of us are to one another long before the day of our passing arrives. But in particular, Lord, I want to thank you for the gift that Mr. Rogers was. He was a television evangelist to children, but much more than that. That's how he saw himself. But Lord, he was an ambassador for you. He was an ambassador for the real gospel, the gospel of every person matters, and that every person is worthy to be loved because of their intrinsic value of how they were created. So I thank you for the gift that Mr. Rogers was. I pray that, Lord, not only in churches, but in the entertainment industry in particular, you would raise up more Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
And that, Lord, our nation and our world will be influenced by the Jesus-following people.
Yes.
Like Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
So I thank you for the gift that he was. I pray that we can not only honor his memory, but we can actually build on his legacy, which is really the legacy of Jesus, that Jesus left us with. And that we pray in your name, Jesus, that this wonderful gift of what Mr. Rogers was to the world, that, Lord, we can become that as well. And I do pray that someday, when our time has come to an end on this earth, that others would say of us that we too were a gift. Mm-hmm. And thank you most of all for the gift of eternal life Yes. that you've given to us. Bless all the people who are listening to this today. I pray that they be inspired to revisit the life of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, because as the Message Bible says in Revelation 20, that God has moved into the neighborhood.
Yes.
And we think that when we are like you, Jesus, God can move into our neighborhoods. Just bless all these listeners now. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Oh, Amen. That's good to think of that verse.
Yes.
And God wants to be our neighbor.
He does.
Won't you be my neighbor?
I will. And I hope Jesus will too.
Yes, that's so good. Well, we'll come back to this, and I promise you'll be even more inspired. And I thank you all for being here today and joining this conversation. And as always, if you have some ideas about topics, if you let me know you're listening and give me a call, give me a text. If you're somebody in my that knows my number, or write me an email at Jackie, J-A-C-Q-U-E, at myhopecommunity.com. I would love to hear from you. I have been getting fun feedback, and I look for new ideas and just ways to really make a difference and bring some joy and inspiration and love into your life. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon.
And I'll be looking forward to being with you, too.
Thank you
Love
so
you.
Much. Thank you. Thanks for joining the conversation today. I hope you were encouraged and that your day will be a little brighter because we were together. Come back again, because I'll be here.